105 Drive with Julian Clover. Cambridge
105. Daniel Zeichner, I'm the Labour candidate for Cambridge.
The first question which was asked by the other Daniel on the panel was the importance of the creative sector. I could just add in what is the importance of the creative sector in Cambridge?
It's a key part of who we are in Cambridge, it seems to me. Places like the Junction and Kettle's Yard and the Fitzwilliam, all these places are what makes Cambridge such a great place to be. And of course, the live bands of the Portland Arms.
Julian Huppert, Liberal Democrat, former MP for Cambridge, and hopefully the next one as well. To me, it comes back to what is important about life. You know, why are we here? What do we do as humans? And it's not just about working, making things, designing things. You know, I'm a scientist by background. I really enjoy that. And that is part of what we are. But arts and creative industries are also a really part of what it means to be human. If you look back at a previous society, it's actually a lot of the creative things which are the things that last, which mark us. As it happens, it's also very economically beneficial. We have a very large creative sector in the UK. It's growing very fast. It generates a huge amount of money for us, employs a lot of people. But I think it's even more profound than that.
So I'm John Hayward, and I'm the compassionate conservative with cross-party appeal. Creative industries in Cambridge are huge. I mentioned in the debate the fact that Cambridge is globally known for its learning industry, for its knowledge industry, but we have a thriving creative industry that doesn't have quite as a well-known reputation. That's something we could do something better about.
In terms of
promoting it. And I think there is an opportunity going forwards as we go through the Brexit renegotiations to say, look, what are our strengths? We already have a great film export industry, for instance. Conservative government's already invested hugely into apprenticeships and bursaries for film industry, for TV and so on, for video. And that is something we could take further, build on, as part of the renegotiations even. Just say, look, if the rest of the world still wants what they've been taking from us, let's not close our borders, but let's have a flexible as well as controlled immigration policy going forwards.
So that would give perhaps the freedom of movement that some people were concerned about here, the ability or not to bring in people from overseas to participate in the arts and creative industries in Britain.
Definitely. I mean, it's not in Europe's interest or in the UK's interest to close any borders. That kind of policy is not going to happen. We need controlled immigration, fair enough. There is lots of communities around the country that do recognise there are pressures on schools and hospitals as a result of the very high levels of immigration we've seen in the last years. But we need a flexible policy that does allow our hospitals, our universities, our high-tech industries and our creative industries here in Cambridge to bring in and attract the foreign students, the foreign doctors and nurses, the skilled workers and the creative industry workers.
But that doesn't seem to be the impression that we're getting from government at the moment.
It is very much the message which we're getting from government. We look yesterday, French president got elected with a huge mandate. We need our Prime Minister to have an equally strong mandate to be able to go into the EU and say we need flexibility and common sense about this renegotiation approach. The posturing that we saw from certain people in Brussels a week ago, you know, that does not help. And we really need flexibility. We need straight, you know, common heads and common sense.
I'm Stuart Tuckwood. I'm the MP candidate for the Cambridge Green Party. It's very important that Cambridge is such a dynamic, innovative place, and it's got so many different cultural things going on in the city. I think that's really important in terms of making it a nice place to live for people and a place that people want to come and live as well, because it's not just about business and about earning money, but also about how a good a place to live a city is, and Cambridge obviously is a good place for things like that. But the point I kept making tonight was it's not just about the top-down kind of innovative kind of culture from theatres and cinemas and that kind of stuff as well, but about people and communities having spaces where they can come together and create culture themselves as well. And I think it's a problem in Cambridge that there's a lack of community space for people to do things like that, and I want to make sure that libraries, for example, are funded well enough that people can get rooms cheaply to come together, and community centres are around for people to use them in their communities as well.
At my street, we've managed to lose the community area at both ends now.
There was a really good community-led initiative to try and buy that church, if I understand rightly. And it's a shame to see community spaces disappearing like that, because people do need all the dynamic cultural stuff, but they also need places they can gather in their communities as well.
It's interesting actually looking around here. We're all pretty much middle class within a range, aren't we? And that's a problem in itself and perhaps a reflection of the need to get out to other parts of the city.
Definitely, yeah. A lot of people talk about Cambridge and say, oh, Cambridge is a very well-off city, you're all very well-off there. But there are parts of the city where people aren't very well-off. There's real pockets of deprivation and there's a high level of inequality between different areas of the city. And I think it's very important that those areas get access to the kind of culture that we desire and that we want to have in our lives as well. And things like libraries are particularly important for that. And the government over the last 6 or 7 years has massively reduced the funding that's available through local authorities for libraries. And I want to make sure that that's reversed so that we can have good libraries accessible to people in their communities as well. We've lost something like 8,000 paid full-time librarian staff over the last 6 or 7 years. And that kind of experience and what the value that provides to communities can't just be replaced by volunteers and a kind of makeshift mobile library. Libraries are a really good place for people to educate themselves, to learn about the world, and also to have community space as well. And we need to be clear that those things are worth a lot and they're worth paying for.
And you quoted, I believe, you went back to your university days when you were introducing your session, and a quote from somebody who'd gone before you.
Yeah, unfortunately, he was there a little while before my university days. But yeah, Jimmy Reid, who's the famous trade unionist from Glasgow and the Clyde Shipbuilders, who said in the speech, in this famous speech where he accepted to become the rector of the University of Glasgow, that a rat race is for rats. We are not rats, we're human beings. And that's why I was very glad to come along to this hustings tonight and talk about culture and art, because it adds a lot of value to our lives. And we can't always just be focusing on the economy and the strong and stable leadership that we're going to hear a lot about over the next month. These things are very, very important to our lives as well.
And one of the things you mentioned during the session we've just enjoyed was the computer game sector. What is it in particular that can face problems after Brexit?
The worries are twofold. One is we rely on people coming and going from other countries. So getting top talent is really important for the sector. But also there's an issue, and it's a complicated one, around how data flows around the European Union. And quite a lot of the servers are in other European countries. And the truth is, if we don't get a proper agreement on that, basically they get switched off. Now that's a real problem for video gaming companies whose players are right across the European Union. So we need to get that agreement in place. And I've been pressing government ministers on this, and frankly, they don't seem to have got an answer at the moment.
Sounds a bit far-fetched. It's a little bit like the Millennium Bug. We all got worried about it, and then when it happened, there was nothing to worry about in the end.
Well, that was a technical problem. This is a political problem, and I'm afraid the technical problem was possibly easier to solve. This is a very, very real issue and is probably one of the things that, in fact, the government's going to have to give quite high priority to. It's a hidden problem. It's not one that would be immediately obvious to people, but there are real issues, and certainly those who run the video gaming industry are very concerned about it.
One of the other issues I noticed the panel got animated about was education. And I was thinking to myself, well, I wonder how many paragraphs are going to be in each of the manifestos about the arts.
Well, generally, I'm afraid there isn't as much as one would like, although quite often parties produce mini manifestos, and I think that's what Labour will be doing. But there can be some big ideas in them. Remember, we didn't used to have free access to national museums and galleries. That was a Labour idea in a Labour manifesto, and it was implemented. And that's the kind of big thing I'm hoping for in Labour's manifesto next week.
You don't have to say we can either teach people about science and mathematics, or we can teach them to be creative. You know, that is utter rubbish. And I think there's a long history to the British educational system of forcing people to choose their subjects far too early. It's quite possible for people to learn about science and creativity. I think they're much more linked than people realise. Science is a creative endeavour. It's about exploring the world, about thinking about what it could be like. So I think we should do more of both. I think that's entirely possible. What I'd trim down is a lot of the test-focused stuff. There is far too much. You know, let's take primary school. Why do we force kids, very young kids, to sit SATs? What benefit are we getting for them? It means you've got some measures. It means that governments can say, oh, the numbers are up a bit. But actually, it's not good for the kids. It's not good for their learning. It's not good for their future lives. Let's replace that with more play-based learning at the early stages, more creativity in education. That is absolutely crucial. And there's lots of evidence that it helps children when they become older, if they've had that broader experience.
And when the Lib Dem manifesto gets published in a few days' time, how many paragraphs will there be on arts and creativity?
I have no idea. I hope there'll be a few, but we have an entire separate document called The Power of Creativity, which covers all of this in much greater detail, and I'd have a look at that. It's available online.
I'm Daniel Bryan. I'm the director here at Cambridge Junction. I think tonight was a great opportunity to consider options, but maybe not make up your mind yet. I think some of the things that came out in terms of economic benefits, quality of life, and access and equality are super important issues, and so they're absolutely things that I'll think about when making my decision.
And this is the problem, though, really, to a certain extent. It's like believing in apple pie and all of that sort of thing. Nobody's really going to stand up and say, oh, no, we don't want the arts. We're going to reduce this funding, even though you all know some governments have done that to you.
I know, and I think tonight the point was made. Really obvious things have happened. There have been cuts to local authorities in recent years, which have had direct impact on the arts and cultural provision. We've seen a lot of local libraries close. This is the direct result of cutting money in local authorities. So those sorts of things, we can actually say this is happening and we want to do something different. And I think some of the candidates tonight offered us opportunities to imagine things differently.
I was struck by the reference, I think it was to the lighting guy who'd asked you to make the point that a lot of people around Cambridge suffer from, but I suspect more so in the arts, just that inability to get a house somewhere within their place of work. And that one really wasn't solved, was it?
No, and the candidates did talk about housing. What they didn't talk about was wages. And I think there's the question of the living wage. We as an employer aspire to be a living wage employer, but we can't afford it. And actually Simon, who's the technician, might have a better chance of getting on the housing ladder or having a better opportunity to live in the heart of Cambridge if he had a better wage. So these things are all interlinked. It's not only about housing, but there's housing subsidy for the arts, which ultimately would result in better wages for the staff.
And a final question. What was your last arts or cultural experience in Cambridge?
The last time I was here at the Junction with you listening to Jason and the Skargonauts. So that was a fantastic night and I wish I'd been here for all of it.
My last one, I lose track of which one it was. I was here at the Junction to see the Transports, which was fantastic. I was actually in this piece to see The Vanishing Man very recently. I've been to gigs at the Corn Exchange. I lose track of which one was which, but I have somewhat eclectic tastes.
Last arts and cultural experience, actually, I went to the Fitz. My wife's been trying to get me to go to the latest Madonna's exhibition, but I didn't go to that one. I went to the, it was the Illuminated Manuscripts one, and yeah, we're big fans of the Fitzwilliam Museum. That's the best one, most recent one.
I saw the Specials play at the Corn Exchange recently. I went to the unveiling of a report by an environmental group last Friday. Who knows? I try and do as much as I can. I don't know if going down the pub counts as culture as well, but I do that as often as I can.
I've asked this question to finish with all of the interviews of the potential candidates. I'll ask it of you as well, but I rather suspect it's not going to work. What was the last arts or cultural event you enjoyed in Cambridge?
That is a tricky one. The last thing... It's tricky because, of course, I'm here all the time. Okay, so I'll tell you the things that... I think that we offer here at Cambridge, at the Cambridge Junction, is that we're trying to find something that's meaningful to people's lives. So we did a really nice show by an Australian artist called Mish Gregor the other day, and it was about how families talk about sex. We had a young audience from a local queer community who came along, and to see them experiencing art that was meaningful to the questions that they were asking in their life was a really fantastic thing. So the answer is, there's lots of good art everywhere, but when it makes a difference to people, and sometimes we do that here, not always, but sometimes, that's when I feel really good. And that was a particular show not so long ago that I saw.